2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the MLB and NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, you can try us out for free. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY, and that'll get you a free week to check out the DFS Army and all the great things that we have. You can join our Slack chat. You can try out the Domination Station. And what a perfect time to do so for the Masters coming up on Thursday, excuse me. You can check out all the different articles that we have. We've got Keith Hall, who joins me on the podcast today, as always. And he's got great things for basketball. We've got Boomers Ballers. We got Boomers Bombers for baseball. We got a great lineup tool that we just introduced yesterday. So all sorts of different things that you guys can try out for free for 7 days out there. All you got to do is go to DFSArmy.com, use that promo code OPENINGDAY, and you will be set up with the wonderful techs, and you will be good to go. So as always, if you guys want to find us on Twitter, you can do that for me, 14A.Walsh for me, Keith Hall. You can find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. So I just mentioned that today's podcast will be a baseball-basketball cross-hybrid pollination sort of podcast. Keith, are you ready for this?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, It's definitely something that is going to test our efficiency here. So I got to ask real quick first. We talked about it a little bit before the show. How was your opening day, my friend?
Fabulous. And apparently my lucky number is 3 because I've done very well on these 3-game slates here. Probably brought back a return of almost, I don't know, 600-700% here on the first 2 days of the MLB season. I just missed cashing there. I did not have enough power bats to bring it home with Kershaw yesterday. But yeah, the 3-game slates have been tremendous. Had 2 double dongs on the slate yesterday with Odor and Chris Davis. Chris Davis was a guy that I was very high on yesterday. So yeah, this is certainly a much better start on MLB than I ever could have dreamed of. Typically with these sports, it takes you a little while to get in the groove. Not the case. We're hitting the ground running, and that is a good thing for all of us here. And how did your day-o baseball go yesterday?
It was great, but I learned a valuable lesson. I shall not – this is probably going to be the first commandment of baseball. I shall not enter $1,000 tournaments at the bar. I ended up about $4,000 out yesterday. Luckily my wife does not listen to the show, so she doesn't have to worry about it. That includes my bar tab, by the way. So
what are you drinking, Top Shelf?
We'd
be there all day. You might want to go with Speed Rack whiskey.
We started out slow, and then I went a couple beers in, and then I was doing really well there for a while because the Rockies were hitting, and then I was pretty in depth and deep, and then all of a sudden the John Gray implosion happened, and because Julio Teheran was dealing, but he didn't get the win, but thank God Noah Syndergaard didn't get the win. You know, it was just kind of one of those days. It was baseball, so. Yep. But it's fun. It's only one time a year. And I shall not enter $1,000 worth of games to, at the bar, while drinking. So,
You know, drinking and any other activity usually go well hand in hand, but, I guess, opening day baseball decisions do not. But hey, you know what? Opening day wins for my Phils and your Rockies. So good start there. But let's start this podcast out with some basketball, right? Because we are getting down to the nitty-gritty. I believe we've got, what, nine more days of the NBA regular season. So we'll have a couple of these today's a test run. We're going to see how this all goes, doing it all in the same episode. If it gets to be too much, maybe we'll break one up and do more writing on one or the other. But you guys, obviously, let us know on Twitter. Again, to follow us, me, 14A.Walsh, Keith, at Boomers DFS Daddy, and also too, if you guys are members in the Army Slap Track, I know you guys always know, you guys always let us know how a podcast goes each day. So I'm interested to hear the feedback from the people. So
yeah, we sure cool. are.
All right, let us begin with the NBA, and what we're gonna do here with these games, we'll talk about the playoff relevant games first. We'll do those the way that we usually do. And then, if we got any other plays that we like from some of the teams that are out of it already, we can bring those up. Okay, great. All right, let us begin. The Toronto Raptors at the Indiana Pacers. Pacers are 2.5-point favorites here. Money line 140, over under 206. Raptors have won both meetings this season by an average 18 points at home. The Raptors here are on the front end of back-to-back. They are in Detroit tomorrow. They do also have a one-game lead for the number 3 seed, and they are 2.5 games back of the 2 seed, so they could possibly catch the Cavaliers. In terms of the Pacers, they are tied for that number 8 seed. They are on the outside looking in, though, losing the tiebreaker with, I believe, the Heat. So we've got that, and then in terms of injuries, we've got P.J. Tucker questionable, Kyle Lowry still out for the Raptors, for the Pacers. Al Jefferson and Glenn Robinson III are both out. So since this is going to be a game where we know we're going to see the star players, which we be looking at here first?
Obviously, DeMar DeRozan, he's kind of interesting. He's still hovering around that $9,000 mark on FanDuel. He's just not doing enough in the peripheral categories for me to kind of trust him in tournaments. He needs to score, 40 points to be able to hopefully get to 50. So I don't mind fading him today. That's always, something that we kind of advocate. If you're gonna fade somebody, then, make sure you fade somebody that is pretty scoring dependent. Jeff Teague is interesting, yep. But I'm not sure exactly how interesting. he's $7,000, and I like him better around that $6,500 range.
Don't we all?
Yeah. It's. I don't know. He's not my favorite point guard, but he's interesting because of the way that the Toronto Raptors, are incapable of defending the point guard position. So my question is what are we going to do with Jonas Valanciunas? Because he's been playing better. He's been getting a little bit more minutes, and Indiana is always somebody that we like to target.
If you remember, Valanciunas is a guy that I had been calling and calling and calling on, like, hey, bro, it's time to go. Let's go. Come on. And, he's responded here. For last four games, he has gotten up to that 6X, 7X sort of value on that price. And, look, he's been called out by his coaches before. Valanciunas is a very capable NBA player in this league. And, sometimes he just needs a kick in the ass. And, you talked about it a couple times, but Nogueira kind of being phased out of the rotation, them going to Poeltl a little more. Valanciunas, the minutes are just below 30, which is a little bit of an uptick from where he was. But, yeah, this is a great matchup, and he seems to be on a roll right now. But how many times have we been late on the roll? And you're like, all right, the guy's got four straight good games, and then he ends up having a bad one. Again, this is a matchup that the Raptors have dominated, so that makes me feel better about the whole Valanciunas thing. It is a good matchup, like you just mentioned, so – yeah, I think this is a fantastic spot for him.
Okay. I was just making sure because I have some interest, but I think it's more towards tournament interest rather than anything else. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Okay. Just make sure we're on the same page there, brother.
Indeed, indeed. And then too, you've got, the point guard matchup, as you just mentioned, with Teague. These two teams just played each other, I believe it was Friday, and Teague had a pretty good game there against Corey Joseph. He came on strong late there at the end, but as we know, Corey Joseph, deep down in terms of defensive real plus minus there, among the likes of a Buddy Hield and players like that. So he is a guy that we can pick on. And the last time that these two teams played, you called the Corey Joseph fade, and that was after he had two outstanding games at his low price. So could you go back there, or you still on the fade train with him?
I don't know. It kind of there's some interesting value at the point guard position today. So I don't think I'm going to be hovering around that mid-tier range, to be honest. I think I'm going to either be, all the way up with the Russell Westbrooks, the Steph Currys, the John Walls, or the Damian Lillard, well, not Damian, he's going against Utah. Or I'm gonna be, in that mid upper tier range, or I'm gonna be all the way down with the slumming with the minnows with the Ron Baker, Isaiah Whitehead types. So that's kind of where I'm leaning today as far as, point guards. It's either
All
gonna be all the way up or it's gonna be all the way down. There's not gonna be a lot of in between ranges.
right. Well, that is a smooth transition because the next game that is on our important docket is the where the hell is it? I got it right here. All right, this double duty is gonna kill me one day. We've got the Hornets at the Wizards here. I was just trying to see who was home and who was away. Wizards 4-point favorites here, -170 on the money line, over under 217.5. Wizards lead the season series. They've had two wins here to the Hornets one, all games within 10 points or less. So that's good. Charlotte, one game back of that number 8 seed in the East Coast, while the Wizards are one game back of the 3 seed as well there on the East Coast. And Ramon Sessions is going to be questionable for the Hornets. No injuries here for the Wizards. That is a good thing. I guess we could talk about the point guards, but there's also an interesting matchup there with the power forwards because you can attack both sides of that with these teams.
Yeah, you can. I like Marvin Williams the best. I think he's probably got the most intriguing matchup. If you look at what Frank Kaminsky's done over the last couple games, he's kind of been pretty consistent with right around that 20. I mean, besides the Toronto game where I think that was foul trouble, to be completely honest. He's been right around that 26 to 28 minutes range. Giving you about 25 fantasy points on average. The problem is that doesn't give you a lot of profit margin. Now, I know Marvin Williams is at 64, but he's shown, 40 point capabilities, as far as upside, recently. I don't think he's going to be highly owned because the idea of people paying $6,400 for Marvin Williams is not something that's going to sit well with a lot of people. So that's kind of the way I'm leaning there. He's interesting. I don't. I'm looking here, trying to pull up John Wall's price on DraftKings because we always say that the 10K range. Yeah, see, he's
10,
90.
10-4, yeah.
Yeah, he's 10-4 on FanDuel, but he's 9-7 on DraftKings. Obviously, I like him better on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel, so that's probably where all my exposure to John Wall.
Right. And then yeah, with the other power forward there, Markieff Morris, he could, finally do what he's doing. I can finally get back on the good foot here against Marvin Williams. This is an opportunity that, many people have not squandered in the past, but look, Morris has just been, I want to say all over the map, but he's been down at the bottom, the dirty south.
Yeah.
So
he's somebody that I never seem to kind of get right. And I can't understand it. Like, we finally got his brother right. Now we try to get him right, and we just haven't yet. So, I mean, I guess I don't mind it, but I can't ever get him right, and it really pisses me off sometimes.
Indeed. All right, any other matchups in this one, or we go?
I think we going on this one, brah.
All right, fair enough. Next one we're going to talk about here, Chicago Bulls at the New York Knicks. This is a playoff game, obviously not for the Knicks, but the Chicago Bulls, they are one game back of the number six seed, and they do have that one game lead for the number seven seed. So this is going to mean a lot to them. Of course, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, Nikola Mirotic, even Robin Lopez, guys like that are all important. Probably not going to spend that much time on the Knicks because, who gives a shit? But what are you looking at here from the Bulls?
You ready to be wowed?
Yeah, Rajon Rondo.
Yep, there you go.
Look at this. This is amazing.
Yeah, I don't see any way that he doesn't. I mean, obviously, it's the Knicks, but I mean, Rajon Rondo's one of those higher end options today. Not higher end as far as price, but higher end as far as, overall value today. So yeah, I don't really mind this play at all. I'll have some exposure to him, but it's not gonna be, a ton. It's more of the let's get some exposure, get out, and make sure that we're taking care of what we need to with him. So.
All right. Let's see here. Jimmy Butler, certainly a guy that looking at here. Nikola Mirotic. I mean, I mentioned them just a second ago, but what do you think about those guys?
Jimmy Butler, he's an interesting tournament option if you want to get off of guys like LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, stuff like that. So I don't mind that. I really, really, really want. I don't know what to do with Nikola Mirotic because this seems like a great spot to fade him. I know New York against power forwards is not great, but call it a gut feeling, call it, not being able to trust what Mirotic has done lately, but I can't get off of him. Like,
Okay,
or I
no.
can't go on, or I can't go to him today. He's been playing so well that this just seems like the spot that he's just gonna, perfect spot, back in 11 game slate, probably gonna be a little bit chalky, still not, great. He did put up a little bit of a dud against New Orleans, but that's a tougher matchup with Anthony Davis and
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins down low. But this just seems like that spot where he's just
Yeah, I think this too, this is going to be, dependent on how the game is flowing, right? Because it's really not a great matchup either if you're going to, have him in there against Porzingis or, a Kylo Quinn, somebody like that. It's just not a good matchup for him on the defensive end. I mean, he's been a liability his whole damn career on the defensive end. So that again, it's just going to matter how this game goes. If the Bulls get down and they need more 3-point shooting, yeah, they're going to need him in that lineup more. So we've got that, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that one. On the other side of things, I'm seeing Ron Baker all over the domination station. He really has only done something once since getting that starting gig with Derrick Rose out, and of course, of all teams, it comes against the Miami Heat. So there's that, but of course, Kristaps Porzingis. We know power forwards against the Bulls since they've gone to the Mirotić Portis combo have just been going off, and I see Mirotić in one spot on the domination station today. But could we pump it up to more possibly?
for Ron Baker?
No, I'm sorry, for Porzingis.
I don't know because, like, see, here's the thing with Porzingis. Yes, everything points to him being in a good spot, and I get it. Like, I really, really do, and I understand the reasoning behind it. But we talk about this all the time. The spacing is so different when it comes to being able to have some of these guys who usually aren't just the focal point of their offenses. When the spacing changes, usually that's a good spot to get off of them. And on an 11-game slate, if he's going to be chalky, I don't mind getting off of him because with the spacing changes with no Carmelo, no Derrick Rose, it could be one of those spots where we don't need to go to him in order to really, really, really set ourselves different. I don't think I'm going there.
Fair
So,
enough.
and I don't expect Carmelo Anthony to be playing.
All right, we're gonna wrap that one up. Let's take it to your neck of the woods, where the Milwaukee Bucks are against the OKC Thunder. Thunder 4.5 point favorites in this one, -190 on the money line, over under 211. Bucks won the only meeting. That was a 4 point win in Milwaukee. Milwaukee fighting for a playoff spot here. They are in, where the hell are they? They are in the number 5 seed right now, so really just trying to stay put there. They could drop in these next couple days if they start losing some games. But of course, OKC, they've got the 1.5 game lead right now for the 6 seed. The only place they could really go, I believe, is down to the 7 seed, and that's where the Memphis Grizzlies are. This is the front end of a back-to-back for OKC, who are actually at Memphis tomorrow in a huge game. No injuries for OKC, but Malcolm Brogdon and John Henson are both going to be out for the Bucks in this one. All right, we got the big million-dollar question of the day: to Westbrook or not to Westbrook? And hey, the Bucks have done pretty well against point guards this season, so I believe that this is a legitimate thought today.
Yeah, but Westbrook isn't a point guard. Westbrook is God, so
Westbrook, God.
yeah, so the answer to your question that you shall troll me with today is to Westbrook.
Oh, I would troll you.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm Westbrooking, so
Okay. Yeah, he will have the pain in the ass Dellavedova treatment on him. Again, more of a pain in the ass. I could see Russell Westbrook getting him in foul trouble. I mean, I think Dellavedova's he's got a high basketball IQ, but him, what he lacks for in physicality, he may try to make up with an effort. Hopefully, in his case, not too much effort. On the other side, we've got another freak of nature in basketball, with Giannis Antetokounmpo going up against probably Andre Robertson in this one. So what were we looking at there?
I've got to go back and look at previous matchups, but this is my favorite ping pong pairing of the day. I just don't see, I don't see how, I have every amount of respect for, Andre Robertson. Like, I think he's an elite defender. If it wasn't for the fact that Kawhi was better offensively, I think he should be at least in the con, maybe not winning player of a defensive player of the year, but at least in the conversation. I wouldn't be shocked if he shuts down Giannis a little bit, or at least keeps him or contains him. We've seen him do that to guys like Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, James Harden. We've seen him do that at times this season. So it would not shock me, but I don't expect it to happen.
Yeah, and if we're talking about who a safer play in this matchup between Westbrook and Antetokounmpo would be, I mean, you obviously have to lean on the side of Russell Westbrook. He's a guy that, your 50 is basically kind of what we're paying up for in his price, but Antetokounmpo has shown the ability to just drop a massive dud before. And, that's evidenced by, some 33s, 27s he's had at this $10,000 price range. So that is there. However, Giannis Antetokounmpo, coming off 260+ fantasy point performances, both against pretty good defenses, at home against the Pistons and at home against the Mavericks. He did, however, play 40+ minutes in both of those games, so I'm sure he'll be doing the same as these Bucks come down the stretch. Any other side dishes here in this matchup?
Enes Kanter is interesting. The question is he going to get, enough minutes to kind of pay off his heightened price tag? He's only a tournament option and only if you're multi-entering. Chris Middleton as well.
Yep.
I'm
sorry. I meant to ask you that. Roberson will probably get the Giannis matchup, and then Oladipo would get the Middleton.
Yeah, that's where I figure most of it's going to be. They're going to be switching a lot, so it'll kind of pair up a little bit. But you know, we've talked about with Giannis, he gets up for these type of games, you know, games against superstars and stuff like that, where he wants to show that he deserves to be in that conversation. And in my opinion, he does. He does deserve to be in that conversation. So,
for sure.
That's always something that is going to be worth taking into consideration as well. But I would rather have, it's Giannis and Middleton for me, and I'm not going to go back on it because I've seen what stretch or wing players can do against the Thunder, especially recently, and I'm not going to let my fandom psych myself out on this. So
fair enough. All right, only I believe two more relevant games to talk about, and then we could kind of just get into a little potpourri of who we like throughout the night. But this one's a big one here with the Denver Nuggets at the New Orleans Pelicans. Team split the season series, both winning on each other's home courts. Nuggets, game and a half back of that number 8 seed. And this is the front end of a back-to-back. They have another big one in Houston tomorrow night. As for the Pelicans, they're mathematically alive, but not going to – they might want to put some rosary beads in their hands while they play these remaining games. In terms of injuries, Jameer Nelson, Will Barton, Daryl Arthur, all questionable for – you know, their respective ailments. The Pelicans have no injuries in this one, but this should be a nice matchup of the big men here tonight.
Yeah, I am not at all worried about, you know, it's most of my teams are either going to have DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis. I'm not really interested in pairing both of them up together, just because, you know, I plan on having Russ in a lot of the lineups as well. So it's either going to be a combo of like Russ and Giannis, or Russ and AD, or Russ and Boogie. So, you know, you could even throw some Giannis and AD or Giannis and Boogie in there. Giannis and Russ are going to be the main key components of a lot of my core today. So, If I had to choose a second, quote unquote, it would be these guys. So, and it's probably not a hot take, but in my opinion, these are the four that you really probably should have in set as your core. The matchup's just too good. It really, really is in this matchup here. So I have no problems doing that at all.
Yeah, that is certainly going to be an interesting way to go. There's a great matchup that I like in the last game that we're going to talk about. But, you know, I talked about the big men, but of course we could attack both ends here at the backcourt positions as well. So who in particular is standing out there?
Depends on who's active and available.
Very true.
If Will Barton is out, give me all of Gary Harris. I'm still not. I know what Jrue Holiday's done, and I know it's going up against Denver. I'm very, very, very skeptical, not because of the talent, but because of the fact that, you know, we've talked about it ever since the Boogie trade. His production has fallen off because I don't think he's quite learned how to work with both Boogie and AD on the court at the same time and still be able to get his points. I think he's more worried about kind of not really deferring, but keeping both of those guys happy and involved. So it's
– Yes. Both men require a lot of food on their plate.
Exactly. So it's one of those things that I'm really not going there. And I think he's going to be highly owned. And it's more of a tournament fade for me because of the way I'm kind of analyzing all of that. So –
breaking news literally 3 minutes ago. I got the phone on silent, so I just saw it. But Jameer Nelson and Will Barton both out tonight for the Nuggets.
Give me all the Gary Harris. Give me all the Jamal Murray.
Indeed, indeed. All right, well, that settled that really quick. All right, last one I want to talk about here before we get to the potpourri. We got the Grizzlies Spurs are kind of in the playoff seeding matchup, but I mean, come on, let's get real. Nobody's playing anybody there on 11-game slate. Portland Trailblazers at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 7-point favorite. This one, money line, -280, over under 202 here. Teams have split the season series. Both teams won on their own home court. Blazers, game and a half lead for that number 8 seed. That's really the only spot that they can realistically get here. This is the beginning of a back-to-back for them as they played that makeup game in Minnesota last night that they ended up losing. The Jazz here have a half-game lead for the number 4 seed. They're going to be duking that out for the last couple games down the stretch there with the LA Clippers. Clippers currently at 5. So, let's see here. Of course, Yusuf Nurkic out for the Blazers. Ed Davis, Festus Ceiling, all these guys are out. So, that'll be interesting to see them go up against Rudy Gobert tonight. Well, whoever they got left against Rudy Gobert. And then for the Jazz, Derek Favors, George Hill, Raul Nato, all questionable with their respective ailments. I'm telling you, I don't know how you don't go Rudy Gobert against the Blazers in this one. Just Miles Leonard against Rudy Gobert, Al Frucamino against Rudy Gobert. The size, the numbers don't match up here for the Blazers.
I don't know how good I've got. I wish the NBA would come up with, you know, because there's so much switching now and because players are playing different positions and you can go big and small, I wish there was a way to kind of look up, you know, what a defensive metric is against, like, this type of player. Like, we don't target power forwards when Al Frucamino is getting a ton of minutes because he's a plus-plus-plus defender. But that's when he's defending, you know, the 3-4 combo guards, the stretch fours and stuff like that. If he's defending Rudy Gobert, like, I don't see this ending well for Al Farouq Aminu, but it's not like he's going to just be able to walk into the paint and, you know, dunk it every single time either. I mean, Al Farouq Aminu is going to put up a fight. The question is can he be effective? I don't see it, but I wish there was some sort of way to kind of quantify that. You know what I mean?
I do. And, yeah, look, I think Farouq Aminu can be, but, you know, he can be somewhat effective. But, you know, just looking at the size on this guy, there's no way that he's not going to get called for some fouls. You know, like, he'll definitely be in foul trouble tonight. You know, again, with Portland being on the back end of a back-to-back, they're going to be a lot more tired than they usually are for this one. I don't see how Gobert doesn't get all of his stats and then some tonight.
I kind of generally agree with you.
All right. Any other interesting points here? Because, let's see, Rodney Hood could be effective in this matchup, I feel like, especially if George Hill is going to be out, if Derek Favors is going to be out again, that could be something. So that's typically where my interest is going to lie. You know, Damian Lillard could be, I know he's going up against the Jazz here, but, you know, if they don't have George Hill, that's a matchup that he could, you know, sort of take advantage of. So I get, you know, just take us out on this game here with some final thoughts.
Since this game's in Utah, I'm pretty much out. I might have a splash or two of CJ McCollum. Generally because he plays a little bit better on the road, maybe a splash or two of Damian Lillard, but it's more of in my DraftKings script than in anything else. It's not, you know, I'm not playing them on FanDuel, definitely not playing them for cash or anything like that, but, you know, this game is going to – Utah's not a tough matchup when they play at home, and, you know, they are getting a Portland team that likes to run, and they're paced down the most. I promise you, Portland's going to want to get out and run, but Utah's going to do everything they can to slow them down. So I'm not too thrilled, but we've seen Dame kind of lately just throw up the middle finger to the world and say, you know what, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do me. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to ball out. So a little bit of tournament exposure, but I'm not super excited about it. It's just because of the fact that he's been playing so well lately.
Yep. All right. Let's see. All right. So let's go to, you know, how about we do this, right? Let's take a look at the domination station. Okay. We could take a couple guesses here, see what we think is going to happen. But so far, the guys that keep popping up a lot are Ron Baker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jordan Crawford, LeBron James, who's going up against the Magic, who we didn't really talk too much about, Justin Anderson of the Sixers, going up against the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And then a lot of Rashawn Holmes, maybe Gorgui Dieng, Sky Labissiere, and DeMarcus Cousins to close out the thing. So do you have any other people you think some of this might change on, or, you know, what are we looking at there?
Yeah, some of it's going to change, obviously, because we just got some of the news. It's going to change throughout the day. I do like Courtney Lee and Monte Ellis are showing up as shooting guards, a lot of it. You know, you've got guys like Timothy Lawuwu-Cabarro, who's been playing – I never would have expected this from him. So it's, you know, with a grain of salt in tournaments, he's still pretty cheap at 4,200. Don't mind a, you know, fade there if you can absorb some of that ownership. Buddy Hield is always interesting. Just because of the way that he's been playing lately, they're kind of showcasing him. We normally don't pick on guards against Dallas. So that might be interesting. That's pretty much about it. Rashawn Holmes still. Like you said, Gorgui Dieng, Aaron Gordon against Cleveland. I'm still of the opinion that Kevin Love is a pretty good tournament play. I'm probably going to either ride or die with the Kevin Love ship, you know, the rest of the NBA season. And then of course you got your Golden State Warriors, your big three. You got your Draymond Green, your Klay Thompson, your Steph Curry that are going to be showing up in a lot of them too.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, that'll do it for our basketball section. Let's have a word from the DFSArmy.com.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, let's bring it on into MLB for this one. As mentioned, good start here to the season here for myself and for a couple members here of the DFS Army. Not too many games today, not a full slate, so, you know, we can get through this relatively quickly. At the beginning, I was saying, oh, you know, we'll pick out a lot of the important matchups, but I feel like pretty much all of these are important today. So I guess we could take a glance at the better portion of this slate. But let's start with the Yankees at the Rays here. We got CeCe Sabathia going up against Jake Odorizzi. CeCe was actually better on the road last season, which, you know, I guess kind of makes sense since he's not pitching in the bandbox. That is the new Yankee Stadium. However, did not do that great against the Rays last season. Gave up 9 earned runs in 14 and 2/3 innings. Evan Longoria absolutely owns CeCe Sabathia. He should be CC Sabathia Longoria. 29 for 72 over the course of his career against Sabathia. 9 doubles, 7 homers. He's got a 500 on-base percentage, .819 slug percentage, 1.319 on the OPS there against him. Now, when we look at everything, that's probably the one matchup that you want to attack. You've also got Kevin Kiermaier in the short span, 4-for-5 against Sabathia with 2 homers. The Rays did have the worst strikeout rate against left-handed pitching last season, but that's not necessarily Sabathia's cup of tea.
Yeah, not anymore. I have no problems going with a Kevin Kiermaier, Evan Longoria, even Brad Miller, Steve Asuza Jr. I think Corey Dickerson's going to be out of that leadoff spot today going against the lefty. He might not even be in the lineup. Of course, you've got Ricky Weeks Jr. and Derek Norris, who we know really, really, really kind of does tear up left-handed pitching. He is definitely in play today. So,
yes, I believe he's actually got good short-term numbers against CC. I just didn't mention him because there were, I didn't feel like there were enough, but that could certainly be an interesting way to go as well. On the other side of things, we got Jake Odorizzi. Not necessarily a reliable pitcher. He will come at you in the zone. So, there's two schools of thought here. One, hitters like to attack him early. So there is the possibility that he can get hit early, or there's a possibility that the Yankees don't hit and he gets through more innings. Kind of probably going to see the earlier of the two happen because he's actually not as good against right-handed bats. Right-handed batters last season hit .277 against him. 19 of the 29 homers actually came against righties. Same thing has been going on over the last three seasons. Not a big strikeout guy, as I mentioned. Only 8-plus in 4 of his 33 starts last year, and 3 of them were in 3 straight games. So that is certainly something to keep in mind. But he does have good BVP numbers against the Yankees, but just not enough strikeouts against them over the course of his career.
Yeah, I'm not on Odorizzi. He's going to have to show me a lot in order for me to jump back on that bandwagon. But I'm not really, thrilled about a ton of Yankees. I'm not trying to stack the Yankees or anything like that. I might have a piece or two here and there, but as far as like a full on stack, I'm not doing it in this ballpark. Not today.
Okay. Some good spot. Your favorite, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Matt Holliday. They could be interesting GDP plays because I don't think a lot of people are going to be thinking, oh, that Odorizzi is – I mean, of course, all of our baseball nerds out there will know. But righties are actually probably the way to go against Odorizzi in this one. So, I think you could sneak up on some people with Judge and Holliday. Sanchez probably going to be highly owned until he goes on an absolute terrible tear, but – probably not a bad guy to use either. All right, let's talk about your Colorado Rockies visiting the Milwaukee Brewers. We've got Tyler Anderson, a darling last year at home against Zach Davies of the Milwaukee Brewers. Both pretty good young pitchers, both that not a lot of people really know too much about. But why don't you give us the breakdown on Tyler Anderson?
As far as Tyler Anderson, his main thing is, obviously he's got a little bit of hitch in his giddy up is what they kind of call it. He's got like a double leg kick or, however you want to call it. He doesn't have a huge swinging strike rate. It's kind of right there in the middle. It's only about 10.7% today. Where he makes his living is the soft contact. He's got the highest soft contact rate out of anybody that's pitching today. He doesn't make a living missing bats. He makes a living getting you to roll over balls and top them and hit the ball on the ground. So I don't really have a lot of interest in these Brewers today. I think that Ryan Braun's going to be overowned, and sure, he can probably get them for, it's not like, Tyler Anderson is immune to giving up the long ball. He has given up a lot of home runs. Well, not a lot, but he has given up some home runs in his brief major league career. But, it's just not something that I feel is a place that we kind of want to attack with, with a lot of authority. So,
Yeah, you mentioned that Tyler Anderson. He did give up 12 homers last season. He, you know, again, he didn't really pitch too many innings because he was new last season.
41.
But right-handed bats did do all the homering off of him. No lefties there. He was 0-4, 4.71 ERA on the road, 19 earned runs in 36 and a third innings pitch. But one of those road starts, he did have a great start at the Brewers last season. He did have 10 strikeouts in 5 innings at Miller Park last year. So keep that in mind. Ryan Braun and Jonathan Villar have had, you know, short-term success against Anderson last season. Braun homered off him. Villar 2-for-3 with a double. Keep those in mind. Let's talk about Zach Davies here for a little bit because I like this guy, and I thought Fangraphs nailed this right on the head in their profile blurb, basically saying that he's the next Kyle Kendrick. Kyle Hendricks. You know, the thing about him, though, that makes Hendricks a lot more successful is obviously the defense behind him. You know, obviously, Brewers' defense, not one of the best in the biz. But Davies did have a nice stretch last season where he was 8-1, 8-2 ERA from May through July. And then he ran into the Cardinals and the Cubs a combined 5 times over the last month, over the last 2 months of the season. Did have a good start against Colorado last year, 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts there. So there is that. Of course, this is one of the best hitters' ballparks in the game. So I don't have too much interest in Davies, but he is certainly a name to look out for on larger slates later in the season.
Yeah, he's somebody to kind of, you know, pay attention to. He's allowed the third highest hard contact rate on the slate today out of the 8 games. It's a 33.8% rate, and the Rockies kind of beat up right-handed pitching. You know, we didn't get a chance to really see it yesterday. I thought that Craig Counsell did an amazing job after Junior Goro or whatever his name pulled his ankle or calf or whatever on a bunt, kind of managing the game. But keep that in mind when going after this. They had to use a lot of guys in their bullpen yesterday to try to win that game. Guerra laid down a bunt in the third inning and didn't pitch anymore. So he threw 3 innings. So the remaining 6 innings, they kind of had to manage. Miner came in and threw, I think, 2 innings, and then they kind of played mismatch and or matchups throughout the rest of the game. But they don't have a full complement. Neither one of these teams do, really, because John Gray, although he threw 4 innings, he didn't complete the 5th inning. So,
yeah.
But we used a lot of our plus guys, so we've still got an extra guy that's back there. We carry one extra bullpen guy more than normal teams do because of where we play our home games. I don't know, man. He's a contact pitcher, and I mean, you know me, I'll always have a Rocky stack when they're in hitters' ballparks.
Yep.
But there's not a lot of BVP to go off of here, so we've kind of got to go by, you know, the splits. You know, where is he weak at? And I think that his weakness is going to be kind of needed to be exploited. So make sure you you look at the pitcher page on Boomer's Ballers to or some of these Rockies hitters in order to get that. As far as the lineups page, there will be right now there's 3 tabs. It's starting lineups, the starting pitcher hub, which has got basic stats, some more advanced stats, but they're not based on splits or anything like that. There will be, a pitcher's tab that comes, another pitcher's tab that comes up that has the day starting pitchers based on, you know, against right-handed batters and against left-handed batters, so we know exactly where to kind of target. It's not going to be geared towards the pitcher's side. it's going to be geared towards the hitter side. So if it's a favorable matchup for hitters, it's going to appear in green, and if it's a favorable matchup for pitchers, it's going to appear in red. But I just haven't got to that point yet. So.
All right. All right, let's talk about the next one here. A game that we actually saw the ball jumping off the bat yesterday with the Cleveland Indians at the Texas Rangers. We got Carlos Carrasco up against Martin Perez. And, you know, as I just mentioned, you know, the ball's going to fly in Texas, especially pretty much all season when, you know, you got that hot, humid air out there. A lot of, like, balls off the fists were going damn near the warning track last night. Did you watch this game in full last night?
Oh, my God, I was so pissed.
I don't know. They might have set an MLB record for infield line drives caught. Did you notice that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. There were a million shots down the third base side. And, you know, those were two very capable pitchers last night. So I'm sure we're going to see plenty of the same here. Let's talk about Carlos Carrasco. He was much better on the road last season, 2.40 ERA, allowing an opposing batting average of 209. That's opposed to the 429 ERA that he had at home and was allowing a 270 batting average there at Progressive Field. He did have some numbers trending in the wrong direction last season. His walk and strikeout rate both went down in 2016. And he did get hit hard in this ballpark last season against the Texas Rangers. You know, if we're looking at who we put up against Carrasco, right-handed bats hitting 20 points higher versus Carrasco over the last three seasons. Mike Napoli, Elvis Andrews have great short-term BVP numbers against him. And, you know, Ruthnet Odor, get the guy some more horses. Crushing it.
Yeah. I think I'm fading Rogie today.
Yes. I knew you would.
But I do have a little bit of interest in... I'd rather go with Nomar Mazara. Maybe Joey Gallo. I'm not really sure how much of look, I like Carlos Carrasco. I think he's a great pitcher. I'm just not sure if the Rangers are the team I want to attack, because I think their ownership is going to be overinflated because of the fact that it's a, you know, they put up so many runs yesterday and hit so many home runs. I will, however, be going back to the Cleveland Indians because I feel like they owe me some money.
Fair enough.
And can we, DraftKings, if you are listening to this, please, okay, can we figure out something to do with Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Santana? Please. I would love to be able to play both in the same lineup. Because the fact that I got lucky choosing Edwin over Carlos yesterday and Edwin hit the home run, that's just all it is. Now, the only reason I did that was because I went Lindor, Edwin, Ramirez, Gomes, and I completely skipped over Michael Brantley, you know, but can we figure this out, please? I would love to be able to play both of them, but I can't. So I chose Edwin, and luckily it worked out for me.
Well, Edwin had the homer, but, you know, Santana was no slouch yesterday either. He really added on to that point total late with the RBI double there in the, I believe it was the ninth or the eighth, whatever the hell it was. But that, you know, certainly worked out well. I'm not sure about the DraftKings scoring, but I'm pretty sure Santana and Encarnacion were right there neck and neck. Let's talk about Martin Perez here real quick. He is, you know, he only allowed 18 homers last year in just under 200 innings, but he was terrible against right-handed batters. They hit 291 against him last year as opposed to the 176 that lefties hit. He did get rocked against the Indians in their lone start last season. Look, Perez is not anyone that we should be scared to go against, but...
Wasn't Martin Perez at home a thing last year?
Briefly. But again, it's like he's not going to strike you out, and, you know, he's going to get hit.
No, we just avoided him.
It's it's a delicate balance, but you know, against these, and you know, just as it was with CC Sabathia, we talked about earlier. I'm not even particularly scared to put lefty bats up against the guy, because it's not like he's such a dominating lefty that, you know, that really matters that much. So
I think you're underplaying it.
Okay.
I think I'm looking it up right now, but I really, really think that Martin Perez at home was a thing, and I'm looking it up right now because yeah, he had a 3.24 ERA at home, only a 3.14 WOBA. You know, when with lefty bats coming in, this is something you really don't want to do. He's got a two. You want to avoid lefties against him. I'm looking at the splits right now. A lot of the power, like he allowed 10 home runs to lefties and only 8 to righties. Or sorry, the 10 home runs at home and only 8 on the road. But his ERA on the road was 5.78. He allowed 20 more runs on the road than he did at home. I don't think I'm going to avoid it tonight, because I don't think that that's sustainable. But I'm just saying that don't be surprised if this is something that, you know, kind of matriculates over the course of the season, is Martin Perez. And the fact that this is their number two starter right now, like, how is he getting the start over Cole Hamels today?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to – maybe matchup based. I asked you the same question with somebody yesterday, and yeah. Or not yesterday, but when we did the podcast. And yeah, same thing. Maybe they're just going matchup based. Maybe he had something going on. Not sure, but very interesting to say the least. All right. Let us get to our next matchup here. Pretty good one last night with the Seattle Mariners at the Houston Astros. Hisashi Iwakuma going up against Lance McCullers. I'm going to start out with McCullers here because I like him, and a lot of other baseball snobs do as well. He does have the ability to post ace sort of numbers, and he's got the best bullpen, best defense in Major League Baseball behind him. He was very good at home last season, 5-3 with a 2.40 ERA, 80 strikeouts in 60 innings. Very impressive. And then he was pretty good against the Mariners last season too, 1-1 with a 1.46 ERA in 2 starts, 18 strikeouts in 12 and a third innings. This Mariners offense is pretty good, but Keuchel, man, he looked great last night, and that defense behind him was just superb.
Oh my God, dude. Like, I think I looked at DraftKings at one point, and I think something, he had like 21 strikeouts. That wasn't.
Yeah, definitely not. No, I think he only finished with 4.
I was looking at something. I think it was a glitch on my phone at the time. But I was just like, because Keuchel had like 68 points, and I was like, what the?
Wow. So like that.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Lance McCullers is somebody that we like. He's got the second highest swing strike rate. On the slate, he is, as far as DFS Army grade, he is number 3 on the slate today. I don't mind it. I'm a little skeptical because I like guys like Robinson Cano and Nelly Cruz today as well.
Okay.
He also has one of the highest he's got the second highest ground ball rate out of all the pitchers, but he's also got one of the higher fly ball rates out of all the pitchers as well, or one of the lower fly ball rates out of all the pitchers. So Lance McCullers might be a nice, nice, nice GPP play to kind of back it up on what Keuchel did yesterday.
Yeah, I think he could do a very great job. That Mariners offense is no slouch either. And, you know, Keuchel, again, he wasn't doing the strikeouts, but just his pitch placement was dead on with his Cy Young season a couple of years ago. So good to see him back in that form. I like him. He's one of my favorite pitchers. Let's talk about Iwakuma here. Terrible numbers against the Astros. 3-5, 4.76 ERA in the last 10 starts. 30 earned runs in the last 56 and two-thirds innings pitched against them. He got smacked around by both sides last season. Lefties hit 290, right-handers hit 276. Strikeout rate has gone down drastically. He's 36 years old now. This could be a damn good guy to pick on tonight. Altuve, Beltran, Marvin Gonzalez, all with sick numbers against Iwakuma over the course of their careers. So I think we found a pinata for tonight.
There you go.
any Astros bats you want to target specifically here?
Oh man, Jose Altuve. He is a whopping 16-for-38 with 7 extra base hits against Mr. Iwakuma. So I'm probably gonna start there. But these Astro bats are always, you know, gonna be in play.
Yeah, George Springer and Correa hit absolute moonshots into the night last night.
Oh, my God. Like, they had some of the most impressive home runs of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a thing of beauty to watch.
And, hey, I want to say, if you remember the opening day podcast, I mentioned Nori Aoki. He got on base a couple times last night. Now, I'm not saying he's viable here for fantasy, but what's interesting about that, I was listening to the Astros broadcast last night, and they basically say, since Springer is not your prototypical leadoff hitter, Aoki kind of, he's like that backdoor leadoff hitter at the number 9 hole, if he can get on base, and then you start it up again with Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, just absolutely dangerous for other teams this season. Going up against them.
Yeah, that's a way to kind of get a little bit different is do that little wraparound stack that we've talked about. Go Aoki, Springer, and with Altuve there in the four spot, or in the three spot, I'm sorry. So I don't mind that at all either.
All right. Great matchup here that we saw on Sunday night with the Cubs against the Cardinals. You're going to see the second installment of this matchup this season. Jake Arrieta going up against Adam Wainwright in this one. And Arrieta, a lot of complaints about him last season, but he was solid with the 18-8 record. His soft contact numbers were pretty good, and that's good since he's got the solid defense behind him. But on the downside, his strikeout rate was down. His walk rate was way up last season. Did do well against the Cardinals, though. 26 strikeouts in 22 innings. He was 3-1 with a 2.38 ERA. Only 6 earned runs in that 22-inning span. And I believe they all came in one game, if I'm not mistaken. You got Matt Carpenter, Yadi Molina, Colton Wong, all struggling drastically. Matt Carpenter's 0-24 against Arrieta over his career with 8 strikeouts. What do you make from all those numbers?
That Jake Arrieta kind of owns the Cardinals.
Boy, I really set you up for that one.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's just something that you've got to kind of pay attention to, is career numbers against teams. Some of these great guys that think they know a lot of baseball really kind of try to poo-poo career numbers against a team, and they say, oh, well, it's because of the good matchups and blah, 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 blah. No, some teams just get up for playing good teams. And the Cubs and the Cardinals is always a rivalry, and they always kind of take into consideration a lot of that stuff. So I don't mind going to Jake Arrieta here. I'm a little hesitant to really, really go after it, but I don't mind it if you want to get a little creative.
I don't know what the price is on DraftKings, but Arrieta is the most expensive pitcher on FanDuel tonight. Not by much, about 600. Carrasco's there at 9,900. Johnny Cueto, 9,200. It is a big risk going up against the Cardinals. I mean, he should have a decent amount of strikeouts, but the win is certainly not a guarantee at all. He is going up against Adam Wainwright, who in his own right, he had times that he struggled last season. And, it was interesting because June and July were actually some of the best months of his career. He did do well at home last season, 7-4, 3.20 ERA. But, you know, if you remember last season, you know, it was his first year coming back off the ruptured Achilles. The Cubs really hit Wainwright around big time last night, and left-handers especially. Lefties had a 305 average against him last season, 839 OPS. So Anthony Rizzo could be back in play here.
Yeah, I think he could be.
Now, we saw the Cubs strike out a lot on opening day. How am I going to put this here?
Hesitation?
Wild interest in trying to pick on them again?
No, not with that in mind, right? Sorry.
All right. Yeah. I mean, Carlos Martinez looked amazing, and I think that was more of a Carlos than a Cubs thing.
Yes, it was.
All right, cool. So, yeah, we've got, in terms of lefties on the Cubs, you're going to have Anthony Rizzo, Jason Hayward, Ben Zobrist. But, you know, make no mistake about it. The righties can hit, too.
Yeah, absolutely they can.
All right. Let's talk about next one here. We got San Francisco Giants at the Diamondbacks. That provided one of the best games of the foe opening day, and I guess in general. Johnny Cueto for the Giants, Patrick Corbin for the Diamondbacks. Got to talk about Cueto because he just gets better and better. He's like a fine wine. 3-2, although against the Diamondbacks last season, they hit him around pretty good, but, you know, they do have a lot of right-handed bats in their lineup, so Cueto might be able to take advantage of the strikeouts there, although this is not the ballpark that you really want to have your pitcher in.
No, it's not, but I think that Cueto's actually had some pretty good numbers in Arizona. I'm looking here. I don't know what to do with Cueto. I think this is a good place to get kind of a little bit different. I don't think that you want to do it just based on, you know, it being a good ballpark or anything like that. I think you want to do this very, very, very carefully. And what I mean by that is, you know, your starting lineup for the Diamondbacks is kind of around the 321 WOBA, the projected one. So I like guys like Jake Lamb. You know, Yasmani Tomas is interesting. Not great, but interesting. Paul Goldschmidt, A.J. Pollock, David Peralta. I like them the best. I don't mind Brandon Drury, but he's not my favorite at the second base position today.
Gotcha. And, you know, for good reason. Let's talk about the Giants here because they're going to be a popular stack going up against one of my favorite pitchers, Patty Corbin. And no, he's not one of my favorites because he was the pitcher when I had my first big MLB GPP win. That was against the Braves, by the way. And, well, you know, because people think Patty Corbin, he ain't winning anybody GPPs. He did the one night. He's got terrible numbers against this Giants team, and that's even with a lefty going up against a lot of left-handed bats in this lineup. Hunter Pence, though, not a left-handed bat, certainly a right-handed bat, in particular, owns Corbin, 12 for 25, three doubles, a triple, four homers over the course of his career. On-base percentage, 536. That on-base percentage, 536. Amazing. Slugging at 1.160, and the OPS at a ridiculous 1.696 against him there. So you got that. I think, you know, Buster Posey is even a good matchup here. Going up against Corbin, you got a couple different guys that you can go with here. And I'm not even scared to throw some of these lefties like a Crawford or a Belt in there.
Yeah, Hunter Pence has got some really, really, really good BVP against him. Brennan Belt actually has a 212 ISO versus left-handed pitching, which is odd. I think Brennan Belt's going to be a very, very, very underlooked guy today. Yeah. So I don't mind going to him. You know, for me, it's going to be, you know, Nunez, Pence, Belt, and I might just leave it at the three.
Okay.
So I might just pick it out just those three. Maybe some Posey. Maybe. But
major disappointment on opening day.
Well, yeah. But it's not going to be something that I'm going to, you know, really, really, really have a hard time going to.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. We've got two more games left to get to. Been going through them quick, so we'll just talk about them anyway. L.A. Angels at the Oakland A's. Pretty good game last night, too. A lot of good games. I'm not just saying that to make baseball more attractive. But the Angels have Matt Shoemaker against one of their young, better pitchers of the A's in Sean Manaea. Chris Davis, big night last night. Good career against Shoemaker as well. 3-for-6 with 2 homers against him. However, Shoemaker does have pretty good numbers against the A's. Last season, he was 2-0 with a 1.42 ERA. 19 innings pitched and just had the whip over 1 there. 3 earned runs against them. All of those were homers. And he did have 16 strikeouts against him. Shoemaker was great last season at times. He was a guy that we used a lot in DFS. So, you know, with the Angels losing last night, Shoemaker could be the guy to get him back on track.
Yeah, I think he is. He's got one of the better grades tonight, but this isn't a tough – but the win's not guaranteed. This isn't an easy matchup for Sean Manaea either. You know, they've got guys like Danny Espinosa, Mike Trout, obviously, Cole Calhoun, Albert Pujols. They're all hitting – they've all got a once over a 175 ISO versus left-handed pitching. And I say Cole Calhoun in there because he is a lefty. So it's a little odd to have a, you know, just like we talked with Brandon Belt, it's a little odd to have a higher ISO guy against a left-handed pitcher of this matchup. So Danny Espinosa is always somebody that we always loved having against left-handed pitching. Yeah. Now, he was in a better ballpark for home runs, but he absolutely just, like, crushes left-handed pitching. So I don't mind him as a sneaky little tournament play at second base. He's 2,600. He's probably one of my favorite tournament plays at the position. I don't mind that at all, but I'm sticking to probably, you know, you've got Mike Trout who's going to be there at 4,900. Albert Pujols is, you know, 3,000. I think he's a great, great play today against the lefty. He's got one of the higher DFS Army grades in the projected starting lineups on the day. The problem is that Sean Manaea has Sean Manaea has the best DFS Army grade out of the starting pitchers today.
No way.
I swear to God.
I like Manaea. It's just, it's more, you know, going up against the Angels who really weren't big strikeout team last season.
I understand that. But, you know, this DFS Army grade, it's led us onto some gems. It did last season and it has so far this season. I've gotten a couple DMs already that have said that, you know, it's very, very, very good.
It's in mid-season form.
Yeah, it's already in mid-season form, considering it's going off of last season's statistics. I've got to roll it out there in one.
Okay.
You know, yeah, just to know and see. But I don't mind. He's not going to be, you know, part of my core, but I will roll him out there in one just to kind of throw it out there.
Yeah, it's really not a bad play at all. I'm looking more at the handedness and, you know, some of the guys that the Angels actually have. But yeah, make no mistake about it, Manaea is probably going to be one of the better pitchers in baseball here in a couple of years. So you know, I don't mind him at all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, I was looking to see. We didn't even talk about weather today, but there are no possible rainouts today, which is great. And then there's only strong winds in the Cleveland Texas game. So
yeah, the only one that I had any real hard question about you know, that could get a little bit of weather, you know, later on. Not a threat to postpone or anything. Maybe a slight delay is the St. Louis Cardinals game. There's some rain systems, not thunderstorm, but rain systems that are supposed
to
move.
Rain systems.
Yes, that are supposed to move in a little bit later on this evening. So just keep an eye out on that. Okay, guys, for weather, there's a guy named by the name of Kevin Roth. He's on Roto Grinders. He is the guy that knows everything about everybody. As far as weather, he's a guy that, you know, I really, really, really do put a lot of trust and, you know, emphasis into. They've got a weather page on RG that breaks down every single game by the hour. It's really, really good because, like, it'll put in there, he color codes it just like everything that we try to do. It gives you wind direction, wind speed, the percentage of rain, if like the weather is good for pitching or good for hitting, he'll have it in red or green, you know, and so it's something that you really, 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 really need to pay attention to in baseball.
Absolutely. And my favorite, make sure, of course, you follow him on Twitter. I don't have his handle readily available.
Roth WX.
Kevin Roth, WX. Okay, yes. So you've got that, and my favorite part though is on Twitter. He'll take screenshots of, I guess, the weather app that he has. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's amazing! And then you see it like moving in real time. Pretty damn awesome.
Yep.
Pretty damn. Sometimes that's a better indicator than the actual words. But believe me, the words.
And he circles and highlights and draws arrows way the storm's going. It's like literally, for baseball, we've got our own little weather guy.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's very cool. All right. Last matchup of the night. This one was an ass-kicking yesterday. Probably not going to be expecting anything different here, but it's the Padres. It's the Dodgers. Clayton Richard for the Padres. Kenta Maeda for the Dodgers. Richard has god-awful numbers against the Dodgers over the course of his career. I don't even want to embarrass the guy by saying them. But once, you know, the Dodgers stack took it away yesterday, so this is a great way to go again. And Kenta Maeda, you know, the guy's had his issues. You know, he's one of these, Korean League pitchers. And I hope it's not Japanese and I didn't offend the Asian community. You guys know what I'm getting at here. Okay. Right. Whatever. You know, he's going to be probably the popular option on the night, but it's mainly because he's going up against the Padres. The Dodgers were in the same situation last year where right off the bat they played the Padres in that opening series, and this was the popular thing to do, just go up against the Padres for now. And especially on a night where, you know, we have questions with a lot of these pitchers, and especially the upper-tier pitchers. Maeda is probably going to be the safest and probably going to be the highest owned in GPP, cash, multipliers, everything. This is probably going to be the way that everybody goes here.
You want a little bit of a
way to go. I don't even know what it is, but boy, do I.
Okay, so you're going to play Franklin Gutierrez tonight against Clayton Richard or Richard or whatever it is.
I'm going to go Richard. Sounds fancier.
You're not going to play Adrian Gonzalez, obviously. I'm interested to see if Justin Turner's numbers against left-handed pitching kind of normalize this year. He had some reverse splits last year. He only had a 283 wOBA versus left-handed pitching with a 128 ISO. That's not good. Just in case you don't know, that's not good. And that's not normal for a right-handed hitter to have those type of numbers. I usually only play Yasmani Grandal when he's batting from the left side. That seems to be his power side a little bit more. I think he's going to be a little bit overowned because of that. However, I will have my favorite second base play of the day is Mr. Ryan Schimpf.
Okay.
The Shrimp. Okay. I will have a lot of him. I will have some Yangarvis Solarte and some Will Myers as well. So, I think that these guys, we saw it last year, they kind of got a lot better later on in the season versus left-handed or versus right-handed pitching. I don't see that changing considering they've got the same guys this year.
Yeah, sure. And we got some NBA news that we were talking about earlier, but you know, well, I'll inform the people in the Army. But yeah, I think bats are going to be a good idea here. You know, we're looking at slight breeze out to right field tonight, but I like that Shimp call, made us buckets of money last season, so why stop now? Cannot believe you had that great call yesterday at having him against Kershaw, so that was pretty cool. When he did it, I was just like, no, that can't happen. No, but sure enough, it did. So major props to you for that one. And yeah, I can't pick a Dodger bat that I don't like at this point. You know, it's funny. You mentioned Adrian Gonzalez.
I just told you, Adrian Gonzalez.
No, I know. With Adrian Gonzalez, it's still funny, though, because he's 10 for 17 career against Richard, but they're all singles.
Exactly. I mean, so, I
don't think he could try it like another 17 times. That still wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pay for singles. I'm just not going to do it unless there's going to be RBIs and, you know, a chance for doubles and home runs. And I don't see that with Adrian Gonzalez at this point in his career.
All right. Well, that'll do it, for the whole MLB NBA hybrid cross-pollination podcast. I like that name. That's pretty cool.
Cross-pollination.
Podcasts, yeah, I think that can certainly catch on. We'll mark for you guys on the podcast description where the NBA podcast ends and the MLB one begins. Obviously, you know, the NBA one will be at the beginning, but we'll mark that for it so it's easier for you guys. And well, you'll just see it before you hear it from us. So that's that.
And so three things. One, don't troll me with Tyler Anderson chop. You don't listen to this, so you know what? Middle finger to you.
Chop's a busy man. He's got the whole eBay business going on. No distractions for him.
Yeah, none at all, because he's like brew crew stack looking
he's
really good.
He's buying up fucking water sprinklers all over the central United States area and trying to corner the market. So,
I'm already wanting to argue with them. Okay, so as far as boomers ballers, and now there's an Amber Alert. As far as boomers ballers, there will not be any highlights for about the first 2 weeks because we're waiting for things to kind of happen. And then you're looking for guys that are pretty consistent. So there won't be any designation as far as cash GPP. If there is extremely like a guy that I do not like in cash at all, I will put that in his notes. But until some of these stats normalize and we get an idea of some of these guys with the new teams and everything like that, there will not be any highlights. I know some people were asking about that yesterday, and that is the reason why. We don't do it in NBA. We don't do it in baseball either for the first couple weeks. So that's just to give everybody an idea.
So how are you handling tonight, since this is the first time that we're going to have this in a while? I mean, I'm probably going to scale it back a little bit on NBA just because I've been having so much success with baseball, but I don't even think I'm really going to play that much baseball either, just given the fact that there's so many question marks on all the pitchers. I mean, it's always a GPP night for me, but I recommend people do the same since there's really, no clear favorite at the pitcher position.
I'm rolling one lineup probably out in baseball. A single entry tournament. I'll probably play a lot of single entries until NBA gets into the playoffs. I'm not changing anything I'm doing as far as NBA though. I'll run a script on DraftKings in NBA, and I'll run a bunch of head to heads on FanDuel and some multipliers, and you know, I'll run the top three teams on FanDuel. So,
all right, sounds cool. All right, hope you guys like the cross pollination podcast, but we got to get out here and do our. Sorry, we didn't have it earlier. That's all my fault. I was up late as hell doing research and woke up late, but I figured we'll try this a couple more times. And should work out fine. By the way, we're going to have, you know, for NBA season, when we get to the playoffs, we're just going to be doing everything by the series. It's not necessarily going to be a day by day. I mean, of course, we'll talk about some of the injuries and whatnot. But, you know, in terms of analysis on the games, it's just going to go by a series basis. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys in the Slack chat and out on Twitter and everywhere else. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.